This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We are going to have Ross Tucker join us momentarily, the Odyssey NFL insider, the podcaster, CBS Sports, Westwood One. And a reminder, the guys continue the Firehouse Tour tomorrow morning. Sean and RJ, the Firehouse Tour. They're going to be in Anna, and that show will start at 6 o'clock. Celebrate DFW with firefighters together, as Ross Tucker said to join us now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Brought to you by MyFrontPageStory.com. And a good afternoon, Ross. How the heck are you?
I'm doing awesome. What's up, fellas? How are you doing?
Man, we're doing great. You know, seems like the Cowboys had a pretty good draft. What'd you think of Booker at 12?
Well, I mean, do you know who you're talking to right now?
Yeah.
I love Booker at 12. I mean, first of all, a couple things. Number one, 2 years ago, I did the Ole Miss-Alabama game for CBS. So it would have been like the fourth or fifth game of Booker's sophomore year, true sophomore year. And Nick Saban told us in the production meeting that Booker was more or less the leader of the team, certainly the leader of the offense. And I said, a guy not even midway through his second year? And he said, yep. He said, listen, if they're a good player, they're only here for 3 years. So I thought that spoke very, very well of Booker. I actually saw Booker down there in Frisco last summer at Duke Manyweather's O-Line Masterminds event. And it was like the other Alabama offensive lineman just followed him around. He was like the Pied Piper, right? Like, he is that guy. He is that type of leader, that type of personality. But then it's his play style that I adore, right? Blocking people, for those of you who've never done it before, blocking people, it's not really that fun. It's not that cool. You just kind of get in the way, and then you see somebody else score a touchdown, and the cheerleaders like them more than they like you, and they get their names in the newspaper. You don't. You know what's fun? Trying to kill dudes. Like, trying to physically punish them and knock them to the ground. That is exactly what Tyler Booker likes to do. And in short order, I'll probably be talking about how the Cowboys have the best duo of guards in the NFL, and maybe the two most physical guards as a pair in the NFL. I think that the Cowboys enhanced what they had with Tyler Smith and made a strength even stronger.
Ross, drafting a guy like Booker, what does that say about the plans, about the approach and the running style that Schottenheimer and this new crew wants to have?
Well, so remember, my rookie year in the NFL was 2001 with a guy named Marty Schottenheimer. Mm-hmm. And the Washington Redskins, we led the NFC in rushing. Steven Davis led the NFC in rushing. We only ran like two plays. We ran power strong and lead weak, and it was awesome. We mashed people. Our quarterback was Tony Banks. We didn't have a great passing game. It didn't matter. I know, and Brian, by the way, was our quarterback coach that year. I know that deep down in his roots, Brian knows the effectiveness of a blunt, forceful rushing attack. And I would think that getting a guy like Booker reinforces that. And also this, by the way, I know everybody wanted a skill guy and a receiver or a running back higher. I know the way you guys operate. I get it, right? I'll just say this. The two teams that were in the Super Bowl, okay? The left guard for the Eagles makes $21 million a year. The right guard for the Chiefs is on the franchise tag for over $24 million a year. The point is you see what the Bears did this offseason. You see what the Vikings did this offseason. A lot of really smart teams, really smart people think that the interior trio is way important and very undervalued by some teams in today's NFL. When I played, I honestly think left guard, which is what I played for those seven games for the Cowboys, I think we were the least paid position in the NFL. I think we were the lowest paid position in the NFL. That has changed. People recognize not only being able to dent the defense in the run game, but how important it is for the quarterback for him to be able to step up. And with Tyler Smith, BB, or Brock Hoffman, whatever, and Tyler Booker, I would be surprised if they get a whole lot of push up the middle against the Dallas Cowboys.
I love it. We're talking with Ross Tucker here in the G-Bag Nation. With the skill players, specifically the running back position, that was one maybe we thought the Cowboys would address early. They go with Jadon Blue out of Texas, and then they circle back with Phil Maffa in the seventh round out of Clemson to pair with what they did in free agency with Williams and Sanders. Do you like that running back room now and working in tandem with what they're building up front on that line?
Well, so first of all, I don't really know what happened with Miles in Carolina, but he was a good player for the Eagles, right? I mean, he's not Saquon, but he was a good player for the Eagles. And, you know, he got a nice contract from Carolina, and maybe he wasn't as motivated. I don't know, but maybe this was a wake-up call for him, and he can get back to being what he was in Philly, because also Carolina didn't have a great offensive line. I like that they took not one but two running backs. The reality is, you know, you start to get to later rounds, usually it feels like you hit on 50% of those guys. So if you take two, you know, maybe Maffa ends up being awesome, and Jadon Blue doesn't. I know this, Blue can run. He is, as you guys know, a blazer. And so I like getting that element in the Cowboys offense. And we'll see what Javonte Williams has. You know, that's very, very sad to me. Anytime a guy looks that good as a rookie, then has a major injury and doesn't look quite the same, maybe a year further removed, he'll be able to get back to that rookie year form. But they at least have a bunch of options there. And I think because of their experience with Rico Dowdle last year and the success he had, I think the Cowboys probably feel like with their offensive line, they can get inexpensive quality play from the running back position.
Ross, as a whole, though, when you look at the NFC East, and clearly Philadelphia has the best roster right now, but do you feel like that maybe the Giants and the Commanders and maybe the Cowboys have closed the gap a little bit? Or is it still, it looked like to me Philadelphia had an outstanding draft, especially some of the guys that they were able to take even on day three.
Correct. They had a really good draft. They typically do. They are a very, very well-run organization. I do their preseason games, and even though they weren't one of the five teams I played for, they are impressive. I mean, in every way, I'm like the marketing, like they are a well-run machine. And interestingly, by the way, they have the exact opposite philosophy of the Cowboys when it comes to contracts, which I think is fascinating. I'll just say this. If you're doing the opposite, the polar opposite of the Eagles from a contract standpoint, you might want to reevaluate the way you're going about it, because they have all of their best players for the most part under contract for years. That said, Brian, as you know, for them to lose Milton Williams and Sweat and Darius Slay and Gardner Johnson, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. So we'll see what their rookies are like, but the Eagles roster has taken a little bit of a step back, right? And it's hard to argue against that. The question is how much of a step back? And then the other question is how much of a step forward did the other teams take? Commanders are interesting the way they keep bringing in older guys. They are really trying to take advantage of Jaden Daniels on his rookie contract. I think they probably closed the distance a little bit. The Giants, I think, still have a long way to go. And I don't know how I feel about the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know that I feel like they're that much better than last year. You know, I think that they're hoping that a healthy Dak the whole year gets them back to double-digit wins. I don't know if that's going to happen for them, but they still have, you know, the game I like to play, and this is actually a fun game for any NFC East team, It's called how many of your guys would start for the Eagles, right? And so you go through and you look at the Cowboys, and we don't need to do it right now, but you guys can go through and say how many of you know, Micah would start, right? Mm-hmm. I think Dak would probably start over Hurts. We can debate that. But how many of the guys would really start for the best team in the division?
It's Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker here with you on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, I'm in my head right now trying to think, guys. Is it just CeeDee Lamb?
Offensively?
Tyler Smith might at the guard spot.
Well, listen, Tyler Smith is awesome. I'm not convinced he's better than Landon Dickerson. And CeeDee Lamb is fantastic. I would just say A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are pretty darn good.
Sure.
So I guess my point to you guys would be, I'll give them to you. I'll give you CeeDee Lamb and sure. I'll give you Tyler Smith, but you're still only talking two or three guys.
Right.
And even all of those positions, Dak versus Hurts, Landon Dickerson versus Tyler Smith, CeeDee Lamb versus Devontae and A.J. Brown, they're still close. Like, mm-hmm. even if you give the nod to the Cowboys, the Eagles dude is like real close.
Ross, so do you see, I mean, what the Eagles did in the second half of last year in the playoffs is one of the most impressive things I've seen in the salary cap era. Do you expect dominance in the conference to continue?
I would think that they'll be the favorite, right? But they did lose a bunch of major contributors. Now, you know, it's funny because they lost major contributors and those guys got a lot of money elsewhere, but Milton Williams didn't really even start for them until this year, and he's not Jalen Carter. I mean, think about this. The highest paid guy in Patriots franchise history, okay, was not even close to being the Eagles' best defensive tackle last year. That was Jalen Carter by a mile. So they still have good players. I would put them certainly as the favorite, but you guys know, hard to stay healthy after you make a long run like that. Hard to do it again. You got to have a lot of things go your way. And I do think they have pretty good competition. You know, I think that the Lions will be right there again. I think the Packers are a team to watch. And the Rams almost beat them.
Yeah,
people forget, in the snow, the Rams almost beat them. Yeah. What would have happened if that game wasn't in the snow, right? I mean, maybe the Rams would have won. So while I think the Eagles are the favorites, I wouldn't say that they are the prohibitive favorites, right? I would think that there are teams that will be nipping on their heels.
Ross Tucker, I need the ultimate Mother's Day gift right about now. What you got for me?
Well, listen, my buddy started the company, the greatest Mother's Day gift ever. For those of you that are watching, I don't know how many people watch. I know YouTube's the big thing now for Odyssey. Check this thing out. We got this from my wife's grandma a couple years ago. By far the best Mother's Day gift ever. It's called MyFrontPageStory.com. You talk to a writer for 10 minutes while you're driving home from work, or maybe you fill out an email about your mom or your wife. They write this incredible story. It looks like it's, you know, on the cover of the Dallas Morning News, framed pictures of your mom and the kids or the grandkids or whatever. I'm just telling you, I've seen so many women cry after they get, like, happy tears, okay? Not like, you know, when RJ or Sean get something for their mom, right? Like, happy tears, okay? It's myfrontpagestory.com. Most of you, when's the last time you got your mom or your wife a gift that was so awesome it moved them to tears? This is it. I'd be almost shocked if she doesn't cry as she reads the quotes from you or your siblings or your kids. MyFrontPageStory.com. And if you go right now, they got 20% discount that pops up right when you go there. So do it, fellas. I would not steer you wrong. MyFrontPageStory.com.
Thanks, Ross. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, great seeing you, Brian. Great talking with you guys.
Thank you,
appreciate
man. Appreciate you.
Ross. Ross Tucker here with you in the G-Bag Nation, the former NFL offensive lineman. Cowboy, I think that was it 2002? Larry Allen gets hurt. He stepped in there for the last six, seven games for the Cowboys. And, you know, he's got a heck of a career now as a broadcaster, podcaster, media member there. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker with you.